Turning to another conflict, the one in Afghanistan, and a particular Marine unit that fought there, the battalion, nicknamed Dark Horse, had the highest casualty rate of any Marine unit in the last decade of the war there. All this week, and all things considered, we're going to tell the story of the Dark Horse Marines, what happened in Afghanistan, and what the families endured back home. Today, to start our series, NPR's Tom Bowman has this profile of Jason Morris. He's the man who led Dark Horse Battalion.
Jason Morris could be mistaken for a young professor with his brown checkered sport coat, blue shirt and tie. Only the close-cropped hair and stocky build might suggest a military life. He's standing on the seawall at the Naval War College in Newport, Rhode Island. In the distance, he can see the sailboat slice through the bay.
It is most definitely surreal. Narragansett Bay probably has more water in it than all of Afghanistan. So seeing blue and seeing green, anything but brown.
Morris saw a lot of shades of brown during his 7 months in Afghanistan's Helmand province. The high beige walls of village compounds, the thick chocolate mud that passed for roads, the dun-colored fields in winter. It was just over a year ago that Lieutenant Colonel Morris took nearly 1,000 Marines to a place called Sangin. It was a haven for Taliban fighters and drug traffickers, a place where the British lost more than 100 troops in 4 years. But the British failed to push out and pursue the enemy. The Taliban controlled much of the area. It was Jason Morris's job to take it back.
It stands alone in the Afghanistan situation as being probably one of the tougher missions ever handed to an infantry battalion.
Lieutenant General Rich Mills was a senior Marine commander in Helmand province. He says what Morris's unit went through was as brutal as anything in the history of the Marines.
It's very rare. I certainly would compare it to some of the amphibious assaults during World War II. It bears comparison to places like Guadalcanal.
By the time Morris returned home in April, his Marines suffered historic losses. 25 dead, nearly 200 more wounded. About 36 of them had lost at least one limb. For Jason Morris, those casualties seemed to come out of nowhere. Most of his men were killed or wounded, not by enemy fire, but by chance. They'd go out on patrol and step on homemade bombs that seemed to be everywhere. It started almost the minute the unit arrived in Afghanistan.
That was tough. So, I mean, in 2 days, we had lost 7 Marines.
Morris questioned his company commanders. Were they doing everything by the book? Were they following their training? Back home, the families were frantic, wondering what was happening. Morris's wife, Jane, started getting 100 emails each day. One wife was convinced she heard the doorbell ring in the middle of the night, that Marine officers were there to announce her husband's death.
I would tell you, the families, especially the spouses, really almost lost their minds.
In this age of Facebook and Twitter, what happened on the battlefield instantly affected the home front, and what happened at home instantly reached the troops. From Afghanistan, Jason Morris had to reassure families back in California. He even sent a message to a town hall meeting at Camp Pendleton. His more immediate challenge, though, was to carry out his mission and stop the casualties.
At the time, I was wondering, what are we doing wrong?
Higher-ups were wondering the same thing. Defense Secretary Robert Gates asked about the growing number of dead and wounded and suggested pulling the Dark Horse Battalion out for a while. The Marine leadership said no. Again, General Rich Mills.
I said it would be a mistake. That battalion was doing fine. Morale was high. Combat effectiveness was great. The Marines up there wanted to finish the job. The worst thing we could have done was to have withdrawn that battalion.
But for all the debate among the generals, it fell to Colonel Morris to figure out how to finish the job.
I was on my own for this. I mean, having to figure this out, it's up to the battalion commander.
Morris pressed his Marines to slow down, to carefully search for roadside bombs when on patrol. He buried mock roadside bombs at his base so his troops could practice finding them. Eventually, Morris got more troops and equipment. That made a big difference. The casualties started to subside. By the end of their deployment, Dark Horse spent more time rebuilding villages than shooting Taliban. But it had come at a terrible price. When he returned home this past April, Colonel Morris went to a dozen memorial services all around the country. He tried to comfort those left behind.
There were some that were very angry, just yelling why the hell did I lose my son for this?
What did you say to him?
What do you say? You just try and make him understand that his son died doing what he wanted to be doing, and that he had an impact, a positive impact on the people of Afghanistan and, you know, their opportunity to rebuild their country.
Jason Morris believes what he tells the families. Other Marines who served with Dark Horse said the same thing, that they made a difference. That's one reason Morris signed up in the first place. He'd wanted to lead men in combat since he graduated from the Naval Academy in 1992. He'd wanted the mental and physical challenge. And he was following a path his father had taken. John Morris was also a Marine.
He's very proud of me, but he said, you got to want to do this because it's a tough life.
John Morris was also a rifle company commander in Vietnam. His unit took 70% casualties, far more than Dark Horse's 20%. But it was different back then. The elder Morris never got to know his Marines. Today, Marines train together, go to war together, and come home together as a unit. During Vietnam, individual replacements came, got wounded, and were airlifted out.
He made a comment, you spent 18 months with these guys. You know most of them. The lieutenants, you know, you've drank beers with. You've met their spouses. You know their parents.
Colonel Morris still keeps in touch with the members of Dark Horse Battalion. He's visited the seriously wounded at the naval hospitals at Balboa and Bethesda. Right now, he's got a plum assignment, studying for a master's degree at the Naval War College in Newport. He says it's surreal, taking classes, living by the water, trying to slow down after combat command.
I found it difficult to get out of that battle rhythm of being constantly on guard, working 18, 19 hours a day.
It's not easy to shake free of Afghanistan and the knowledge that the men he led didn't make it home.
It's a burden that you bear forever.
Tom Bowman, NPR News.